If you believe God for a miracle and you know we can do the impossible, shout yeah.
You're listening to the Climbing Higher radio broadcast with Bishop Eric Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
Say, I believe God for a miracle.
The Bible clearly declares that there is a place in God, a place in God where he wants to cover us with his glory. There is a place in God that we can walk in here and receive supernatural outpouring. There is a place in God that this church needs to be to see the manifest power of God. That no matter who comes in with an agenda contrary to it, they'll be swallowed up. I see the day coming when no demonic person will be able to bind the service. I see the day coming when no spirits of darkness will be able to stop the children of God. And I'm telling you, that day is here. I'm telling you by the word of the Lord that what the devil did against you yesterday, he ain't doing no more. I'm speaking to you now, not as your pastor, but as God's apostolic prophet. I'm telling you that the weaponry that he used against you before will die today if you give God jubilistic praise. If you give him expectant praise and lose your dignity. Listen, if you will go wash in the waters of Israel and humble yourself to lose your dignity. We've been here long enough. There is a passage that I'm compelled to share with you as it becomes revelatory and it illuminates a truth. But once again, we dare not be one-dimensional. We must look at the Bible, at what he's saying, and then look at the Bible, at whom he's saying it to, and then look at the Bible, at its prophetic inference. There were things that Jesus said that had justification for the moment, and then there were things that he said that were for the future. And it is incumbent upon us to find out how we can apply those truths to our daily lives. First, we must come to the revelation that we've been in this situation long enough. You've been unhappy long enough. Listen, we marry our burdens. We begin to associate with that condition and make it ours. My diabetes. My migraine, my condition. Do you know that when you adopt it, your brain won't let it go? Because your brain is taught to operate based on what it hears. That's why when you say, I can't afford it, your brain will never show you how you can afford it. And God is not obligated to support, I can't afford it. I talked with a pastor who needed an administrator. I always tell the pastors under my care that before you hire anybody else, you need an administrator to relieve you of the paperwork, because the anointing on the pastor is not for paperwork. And anyone who pulls the pastor into administrative trappings doesn't understand the role. That's why the apostles, when they were challenged by an administrative snafu, they said, we are not leaving the ministry of the word to wait on tables. Said, find 7 men. And we erroneously say that's the beginning of the deacon. And no, it's not. No, it's not. Because the deacons in Acts served tables. So he told me he couldn't afford it. So he had gotten a bunch of resumes, and the best candidate needed X number of dollars. And he said, Pastor, he said, I can't afford this. He said, I'm going to go to God and ask for it. I said, you ain't never going to get it. He looked at me. He said, but I'm going to believe God. I said, what you going to believe God for? He said, the money to hire the person. I said, God's not obligated to do that. I said, that's a Gideon move. And I said, and at your level, the Gideon moves don't work. Gideon moves are for people who are unsure of God. Now, how are you going to be the pastor and you're unsure? He said, well, what should I do? I said, offer the person the job and give them a starting date of 2 weeks from now. I said, within that time, God will supply the need. You watch, your offerings will increase to cover that salary. And as sure as I stand here before you, he got that money and never went backwards. See, I got to put this on you. Any woman that understands a man, and most don't because all you hear is negative stuff. They ain't no good, they're dogs, they're going to walk out on you, don't buy them no shoes, you know, ain't no good men around, good men are hard to find. And so when you program yourself to that, you're never going to find one because your brain is saying you ain't never going to find one. So even if God brings somebody in, you're going to drive them away. You can drive away your blessings with the thoughts in your unconscious mind. You've already killed your husband before you met him. You've already killed him in your mind. So God is saying, but I got somebody to give you, but they all ain't no good. So your brain says, all right, shut everybody down. So the one God sends comes up and says, oh, praise the Lord, how are you? You know, my name is Sam, and you are blessed. Well, if you bless, you don't need me, praise the Lord. Because in our mind, all we've heard is negative, 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 negative. So your brain acts on negative. And then when the right one comes along, in most cases, you're with the wrong one when the right one comes along. And if you can't be with the one you love, let me find that scripture. So, Jesus says, now look, we got to deal with an issue. We have to deal with an issue because in order for you to move from that place of mediocrity, there's one significant thing that you have to address. It's not a devil. That's why you haven't been able to successfully cast it out. You haven't been able to fast it away, and you have not been able to pray it down because you've been looking on the outside. And the battle for the Christian, as the Christian matures, the battle becomes more internal because the external things have already been conquered. You've already seen God beat your enemies. You've already seen God prepare a table before you in the presence of your enemies. You've already seen that. But if you're still bitter, even after God does something, here, God may have somebody do something for you, right? And then you're bitter towards them. And God has just blessed you. And you're bitter towards the person bringing the blessing. You feel indebted. You feel like you can never repay what that person did. So you are tormented by their goodness. And in your mind, all you're saying is, I'll be so glad when I don't have to take nothing from you no more. And God keeps letting it happen. But yet there's no joy in you. And he keeps letting it happen. You know when he's going to deliver you from that? When you say to him, Father, I thank you that you care enough about me to have that channel. But if you choose to close that channel, I will be all right. Watch now. Watch. Over 60% of you do that with your job. Watch. God has chosen your job to be a temporary blessing to you. When you complain about your job, complain about your supervisor, complain about the hours, complain about the conditions, what you're saying to God is, I'm not thankful that I have a job. I need to be laid off. That's what's happening. That's what's happening. God has said, this channel is what I'm using, and I expect you to be euphoric. You can be surrounded by idiots, and you go, thank you, Jesus. I got idiots working with me. Now I get a chance to show my light. Hallelujah. But you're like, I don't know why I got to put up with these people. And why are they here? God says, all right, stay there. Stay there until you learn to appreciate me. Because you could be in the hospital in intensive care maxing out your health benefits. Watch this. Jesus said, all right, let's deal with this. Let's deal with this. Down here in Mark's gospel, chapter 4, verse 18, where Jesus discusses the four types of ground that the seed falls in. Now, let's identify. There's a sower. There's nothing wrong with the sower. He sows seed. There's nothing wrong with the seed. The problem is with the ground that the seed falls on. Jesus gives us four types of ground. The most dangerous out of the three, because the fourth one is good, but the most dangerous out of the three is this one. He says, where are we? Verse 18. And these are they which are sown among thorns. They hear the word of God. Do you hear that? They hear it. Now, based on context, this hearing is not just hearing, but the word goes in them. This is how you're going to know it. You're going to know it by a preposition. He says, they hear the word of God, and then the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust for other things do what? And do what? How can they choke the word if the word ain't in it? So these individuals hear the word of God. The devil knows. If you notice how Jesus does this, the first one, he says, the enemy comes and snatches it when? Immediately. That's the unconscious mind. That means that while I'm preaching it, the devil has you thinking about dinner, work tomorrow. He's snatching it from you right away. You hear me, but you don't pay attention to a thing I'm saying. You are disassociating yourself from my preaching. You hear it, but you're not listening. So Jesus said that's the first soil. The enemy comes right away and snatches it. He said then the second one, he said those are the Christians. Notice, because really these are stages of development. He says the next phase are those that hear the word of God. You take it in, but then when troubles come, you can't stand. You stay out. You come for 1 week and stay out for six. You know, because trouble has come. People are saying things and you're experiencing. They ain't letting me sit in my same seat. Then sit somewhere else. I mean, what's the problem? God told me to sit here. Well, here's what you do. Let me help you all out. If God tells you to sit someplace and somebody else is sitting in it, then just move. Yeah, but God told me to sit here. He's not going to stop being God if somebody's in that seat. So now you're going to cause a fight. Look, you got to move. God told me to sit there. Well, he ain't tell me. I had a friend I grew up with. He was the son of a pastor, and we would hang together and play basketball. And he said one of the young ladies came up to him in church and said, God said, you're going to be my husband. And he turned and looked at her with the most serious face and said, he ain't tell me. From that day, she heard God differently. See, we have to stop. We have to stop being moved by what people tell you God told them. God told me to sit there. Okay, somebody else is there. Sit someplace else. Here's what you do. You walk in, somebody else there. You say, okay, Father, somebody's in that seat that you told me to sit in. And where do you want me to go now? Just ask him. He made a mistake. He ain't know somebody else was going to be sitting there. He told you to sit there in all good intentions. Somebody else beat you to it. Now, you're listening, and you're like, you're scared because you're waiting for God to kill me. But I'm telling you, he's in heaven laughing. And the angels are standing around him. He said, I don't know what I'm going to do with that boy. He just makes me laugh. I'm so glad I saved him. But that's exactly what happened to children of Israel. He said, y'all go on into the land. They said, we can't. We can't. There's giants in there. And we look like grasshoppers. So God said to the Jebusites, y'all can have it. Go right on in. Go on. Take it. I mean, my people are going to get it later, but you can enjoy it right now. See, you know what happens? Because we stay in that same place of mental and spiritual mediocrity, we miss more of what God has for us than we catch. In fact, most of the stuff we do walk in is usually after the fact, after we've suffered. There are times I leave my house, and I need a key to lock my door. And I'll walk out that house, and God will tell me, halfway on my way to church, he'll say, go back and check your door. I'm like, I know I locked the door. I'm a carpenter. I know I locked the door. But he's not telling me to go back and check the door. He's testing my obedience. If I will go back and check the door even when I know I did it, then that means if he tells me to do something that's going to bless the ministry or save my physical body, I'm going to do it. Once you get into the obedience mindset, he can tell you anything. And he usually starts out with simple stuff. God will tell you, call the pastor. Now, listen to me very carefully. God will test your obedience. Call Pastor Lambert. And you pick up the phone and you call, and Denise says, he's not available. You get angry. God told me to call him. Now, listen carefully. He did not tell you I would answer. He just told you to call me. You should not get angry if I'm not available. And she's been told to tell you I'm not available. God told her to tell you I'm not available. See, God told you to call. He didn't tell me to take your call. So watch this. Jesus goes on now and says, you've received the word. You're at the higher level. You've received the word so that it takes root in you. Watch now. You say, how do you know it took root? He says that the stuff of the world creeps in and chokes your fruit. So this particular person in Mark 4:19 is a mature Christian who is conflicted about their Christian walk. They have allowed the enemy to have access from their environment and culture that it is choking out the fruitfulness of the world. That's why you can't get delivered, because there's no demon to bind. This person is double-minded. There's no demon to bind. There's no devil to defeat. It is a conscious decision to let the pride of life, the lust of the eye, and the lust of the flesh come into your soul and choke out. It's usually the lust for position, the lust for prestige, the lust for power. Now, you ever notice you don't have those mindsets on your job, only in church. In church, we want to rise to the top without training. But you would not go into your supervisor's office and say, I want to be the CEO of this company starting tomorrow because God told me. Yes, he did. They would look at you before they commit you to Norristown. But in church, God told me to be chairman of the deacon board. Never served a sandwich in the cafeteria. Never served a person a slice of cornbread. But you're supposed to be the chairman of the deacon board. God would not call you to do what you cannot do inside. If you don't have a servant's heart, he won't put you in a serving ministry. If you don't have a servant's heart and like people, he won't put you in the gospel ministry. Because Paul said one of the keys to being in ministry is you must be given to hospitality. We've been in this state of mediocrity long enough. Now listen to me carefully. The battles that we have with this passage, the battles that we have are all cultural. As African Americans, we suffer from the greatest deficit, which is a lessening of self-assurance. We have always needed others to tell us our worth. And if they don't give us that, then we feel like we're not worthy. This is why we're so self-hating. I'm just going to call a plumber. Well, don't call so-and-so, because you know how our people are. We're self-hating. We can't get behind anybody. Person gets up here singing, and they miss a note. Everybody misses a note. Everybody misses a note. And they miss the note, and it's a little out of their range. I could do better than that, said the person sitting from the chair. At least they're trying. But instead of saying, bless them, Lord, help them hit that note, and getting up and come on now, come on. Jesus said, Unless you humble yourself and become his children, you can't enter into the kingdom. When my daughter was little, I went to one of her plays, and they were, every child had to come out and recite something. And I'll never forget this. One of her classmates came out and started her little speech, and she forgot the end of it. So as she was standing there fumbling with it, one of her classmates came out from the side, took her by the hand, stood with her, and finished her part and walked off with her. Now you let that happen in church. Let a preacher get up and forget a scripture. See that? You ain't in the spirit. Instead of, here's what you mean, preacher. We don't do that. What is that? That's one of those thorns. Jesus said this stuff comes from the outside and works in. We've been here long enough. 30 years of a church's growth, we should not have the problems of a first-year church. Here, your child is in kindergarten. Somebody talks about them. They run all the way home and say, Mama, Peter said I had a big nose. And then Mama has to lie to you. Your nose ain't big. God just fixed it so you can smell better than they can. They just jealous of you. My baby nose ain't big. My baby got a pretty nose. My baby, you're just beautiful. You don't have no big nose. I bet you can smell when I'm making cookies from all the way down the street. Now you go back and tell them you don't have a big nose, that God just fixed it so you can smell Mama's cookies. So you go back to school. I don't have a big nose. I can smell Mama's cookies. Now, you get to high school. Somebody says you in that big nose. You don't run back to Mama. You say, you got a problem? We got a problem with my nose? With my nose? I don't see where that's any of your business. You with your cross eyes. See what happens when you grow up? You fight back. You're looking for counseling when you need to tell the devil, back off. I got to see the pastor. No, back off. I don't need anybody else to encourage me. The devil tell me I'm going to die. No, I ain't. Jesus died to save me. I shall live and not die. Back off. All this stuff is coming in. Ambushing your joy. Not taking it. Ambushing it. Trying to make it of no effect. Trying to make it of no effect. You ever had your cable go out and all your wires are connected, but it's disconnected somewhere else? You call Comcast, my cable's out. And you ever notice they ask you the same dumb question? Is the box plugged in? You've never unplugged the box. From the day they gave it to you, it's been plugged in. Is your television plugged in? Nobody unplugs it unless they're moving. And then they say, will you be home between now and next Thursday? And you'll take off work. I'll be here. I got to get my cable fixed. Then they'll come and say, well, we checked everything in your house. There ain't nothing wrong. Now you're mad. Then they'll say, oh, it's in the junction box a mile away from you. And you stand there. You're the expert. Why didn't you know? Don't you have equipment to tell you where the brake is? Well, that's how it is in the spirit. Just because something isn't functioning right in you doesn't mean you have the problem. It could be a generational thing that you've got to deal with way back there. You've got to reach down into hallowed antiquity, the history of your existence, and say, my mama was wrong. I'm not a loser. My mother and father told me for years I was a loser. They're wrong. Not my mother and father. They didn't tell me that. But some of you, unfortunately, had moms and dads that told you ain't never going to amount to nothing. And then some of you had the ones that were even worse. They never told you anything. At least if you had somebody tell you something bad, we can reprogram you. But if you never had somebody tell you anything, you're just subjected to whatever spirit comes at you. But you've been here long enough. Just because mama said you were going to be a bum, then show her what it means to be a bum and a millionaire. Say, I'm just sitting around. Don't you have a job? No, baby, I don't need no job. My money works for me. See, you don't think it's possible because in your unconscious mind, you've absorbed poverty. You think poverty is your birthright. That's why you scrimp and save and you struggle to try to make money. When God said in Deuteronomy 28, if you do what I tell you, money will come to you. And not many of us have money coming to us because we've been told we ain't never going to have it. So we rob, we sell drugs, we hijack people to try to get it quick. But it's quicker way than robbing. All you got to do is give God what's his. And he said, give and I'll give back to you. Pressed down, shaking together, running over. If I can get that in your mind. As the man says with the lotto, you can't win if you don't play. I wish I had that $324 million. Did you play? No, then you don't wish you had it. I'm not advocating you run out and play the lotto. But I'm simply trying to show you the biblical principle that God is saying. We can sit around wishing. You can wish in one hand and pour water in the other and see which one gets wet. Had to make that better. And that's what we do. We spend our whole life wishing and hoping and hoping and praying and wishing and hoping. And you and Dionne Warwick both don't have it. She never got the man she was wishing and hoping for. She said, you can wishing and hoping and hoping and wishing, wishing. And after you through, he will be. No, you won't be his because you're just wishing and hoping. No, so here's what you have to do. You have to wish and hope and take care of yourself and learn to cook. And be feminine and not be masculine and not challenge him and not fight him and not nag him and not provoke him, and then he'll be yours. And brother, you can wish all you wanna, wish on all you wanna, but get a job, get an education, get a job, apartment or a house, then a job and 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 a job. You can do all the wish. I believe God gonna send me a wife. Hallelujah. No, he didn't say that. He said, excuse me, son. Go back and look in the Bible. It said, whosoever finds one. Only problem is now in the 14th century, you found one, and she was just happy to be yours. Now when you find her, she said, where you live? You don't have no APT, no CAR, and no JOB. You ain't getting near me. In the old days, you put your arm around and say, baby, I love me some you. Now they'd be like, how much you got in the bank? I need to see a financial statement. What's your credit score? If your credit score 450, we ain't getting married. You can't even get me a diamond ring with a 450 score. Hey, that dog ain't hunting, baby. You got to be up at least 710. Because faith without works is dead. And we've allowed society to put us down and put a ring in our nose and lead us around. But I declare to you, we've been here long enough. It is time for us to become captains of industry, owners of corporations, and the people who become the movers and the shakers so that Jesus can be in our economy. And every business that we have should be called Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord restaurant. Jesus is Lord cleaning company. Jesus is Lord tailoring company. Jesus is Lord because everybody needs to know that Jesus is Lord. I told God I want a construction company. It's going to be called the Jesus is Lord Construction Company. And I'm going to hire a Muslim to be my receptionist. So when she walks in with her dark clothes on with a little slit in the eye, I'm going to pay her $40 an hour to answer phones. But she's got to say, Jesus is Lord. Ow! Then I'm going to have her Muslim friends call my phone for work in their mosque and temples. And she's got to answer that phone. Jesus is Lord. They're going to say, Wassalamu alaikum. Nope, Jesus is Lord. This is not the Wassalamu alaikum construction company. This is Jesus is Lord. After you keep saying it long enough, every devil in you is going to bow. Because at the name of Jesus, sickness has to bow. Poverty has to bow. Destruction has to bow. Depression has to bow. Everything has to bow to this dynamite from heaven. All right. Been here long enough. He said those things come in, cares of this world, deceitfulness of riches and lust for other things enter in. That means it comes from the outside. You say, well, Pastor, I don't lust after nothing. All men are liars. I don't practice idolatry. Here's how you can tell real quick. Who do you call when trouble and needs set in your life? The person you call is your God. If you call somebody else, that's your God. That's your God. Some of you, you can't even wait for your income tax return. You pay the extra money to have them get it to you quick. Why? It's going to be there. Why pay the extra money? So I can get my money. Some of you get payday loans. You got yourself in so much debt. Why? The lust for other things. Say, wait a minute, preacher, don't say that. I just found myself in a difficult position. Then stop buying what you can't afford. It's all right to say, I can't afford this, but put a comma there and say, right now. It gives your brain something to work with. But it's very hard to go to God and tell him you can't afford to give him an offering. When you got an iPhone, an iWatch, you dress to the nine and just have a life of luxury. He don't understand that. That's why he said in Haggai, you ain't never going to get ahead. Because you're violating my law. We've been here long enough. Either the Bible is the word of God, or it's just a book filled with good philosophical sayings. If it's a book filled with philosophical sayings, then we can ignore some of them. But if it is the word of God, we have to do what it says. And he says we've been in this place of mediocrity long enough, hanging with the same people, have the same people in our lives, even in our interpersonal relationships. You get stuck with somebody who does nothing for you. They can sit with you, literally sit with you, and see a need in your life or in your home and not even have the compassion. Your window could be falling off the track, and he'll sit there. Well, you can put some tape on it. And he just told you he loved you. And he's sitting there watching you struggle to close the door. It's falling off the hinge. You got to hold it up to shut it. And he sit there and say, well, you know, if you just leave it closed and use the other door, he don't love you. Get him out of your life. If a man really loves and he sees somebody say, uh-oh. All right, I ain't saying nothing. That was a woman saying, uh-oh. I thought she would say on, preacher. But if he does, since men are made in the image of God, God is never a passive observer. When he sees a need, he meets it. He made man to be like he is. So if you have a man in your life that's that way, that's a good man. But if you have one that stands by and only visits you for sex or the appearance of it, or even married to somebody who can't even turn a screwdriver and they just let things fall apart, well, I ain't got that gift, then call somebody. You got the gift to talk. Men were made to be the leader. And in our relationships, we have people in our lives that don't help us grow. You've been there long enough. Now, I'm not telling you married people to walk out of here today and divorce. That's not what I'm telling you. That's not my job. But if you're dating somebody who just gives you anxiety, Ajana, and every time you, I'll be over to see you. Oh, God. I wish the rapture would come between the time they said they were coming over till now. You don't need them in your life. Why are they there? God called us to be free, to enjoy our Christian walk. We've been here long enough. You've been in sin long enough, it's time to come to Jesus. You've been sick long enough, it's time to apply Isaiah 53. You've walked in defeat long enough, it's time to recognize what Paul says, I'm more than a conqueror. And you've got to be that way. Sometimes the thing that's really bothering us can be helped by some things around us. It's no secret that I tore up my knee running. And I ripped the meniscus and I had arthroscopic surgery back in 2002. And my knee just has never really been the same. And the doctor says, no, you don't need to have it replaced. It's just going to be that way. And I refuse to take down. I refused to go through an abundance of treatments, and I refused to have them use me as a guinea pig. I said, God, I want another way. I want to be healed. And the last time I went in for an examination, he said, we're going to try something else. I said, what's that? He said, we're going to try physical therapy. I said, what? He said, we're going to try physical therapy. So I started going to physical therapy, and the person says, this won't cure your knee, but it strengthens the muscles around the knee so that the problem that you're having won't be as bad. Amen. I had 3 days of physical therapy, and my knee feels better than it did this time 3 months ago just by strengthening what's around it. Brothers and sisters, God taught me a lesson laying on that table, lifting up my leg 25 times. He said, most of the troubles that you have are caused by stuff around you. And you're asking God to deal with the problem, but he said it's that stuff around you that if you dealt with that, you'll be stronger. How do you think the children of Israel felt walking around for 40 years? I think somebody said, where we going, Moses? And Moses said, I have no idea. But they walked. And what happened was by the time we get to Deuteronomy, they had been there long enough. God knew two major events were about to unfold. Moses was going to die, and Joshua was going to take over. So he pronounced, you've been here long enough. He killed Moses, and he put in Joshua. And Joshua came in. And unlike Moses, he did not send spies to the land. He said, let's go. And they followed him. You know why? Because they were tired of walking around. You have to be tired of your current place to move to a new place. When you are fed up with situations like they are, God won't have no problem with you moving forward. God won't have no trouble with moving us up. You've been here long enough. It's time to move to greatness. And every one of you in here have the potential for some type of greatness. You possess the genius to do something significant. Someone in here may have the cure for cancer, the cure for AIDS, the cure for diabetes. But you haven't been programmed to think that way because you're not surrounded by medical theorists. You're surrounded by sick people who tell you how bad the condition is. So in your mind, you just hope, I don't get it. But if you were around innovators, shakers, movers, Walt Disney has a sign on one of the walls down in the kingdom. It says, if you can dream it, you can do it. He got that from the Bible. It's a biblical truth. Satan is after our dreams. He wants to keep us without dreams, without the ability to see ourselves. That woman that struggles with getting pregnant, God says, see your baby and see yourself walking around with it. and see yourself wrapping it in a blanket. That woman who thinks she'll never get married, see yourself at the altar, pledging yourself to someone. Start singing. Here and now, I vow to be one with you. You're all I need. Starting here. Start singing. See it. Create it in your mind. See yourself pulling into a new job, into a parking space with your name on it. See yourself. Every great scientific achievement came because the person saw greater than everybody else. Christopher Columbus stood on the coast of Spain and said, "There's something beyond the horizon." And his friend said, "No." And he said, "Well, I'm going to go ask the king to give me the money, to front me the money to go on this great trip." And the king said, "You lost your mind. I'm just like everybody else." But Isabella said, "I'll loan you the money so you can buy your ships, the Nina, the Pinta, and the Santa Maria." And he came and landed in the Americas. He did not discover America. There were already Indians here. But he found that there was a land beyond the shore. One day, Copernicus got up in the morning and said, "I've been told that the earth is the center of the universe, but something inside me won't let me believe it." So he did his computations, he did his stargazing, and came back with the assertion, with the theory, that the sun is at the center of the earth. And we believe it because Copernicus said it. You possess the ability to discover something, to declare something. You have God in you. You can do this when you determine that what I've heard is not right. I am not a loser. I am not defeated. I will rise, and still and still I rise. You've tried to keep me down, but still I rise. You've tried to tell me that I was inferior, but still I rise. You've been here long enough.
If you believe God for a miracle and you know we can do the impossible, shout yeah.
For a copy of this message in its entirety, call 215-885-2585. And when ordering, request ID number
2118P.
Today's message is available on CD for $9 and DVD for $14, which includes shipping and handling. The Climbing Higher TV broadcast can be seen on WBPH TV 60, Sundays at 7:30 p.m. and Monday through Friday at 7:30 a.m. Join us at 2929 West Cheltenham Avenue in Wincote, Pennsylvania. Services are held at 7:30 a.m., 11:30 a.m., and 6 o'clock p.m. Live streaming of our services takes place Sundays at 8:15 a.m. and 12:15 p.m. Prayer and Bible study are held every Wednesday beginning at 7 p.m. For more information, visit us at BethelDeliverance.org or download the Bethel Deliverance app at the Apple Store or Google Play. Thank you for tuning in to the Climbing Higher broadcast with Bishop Eric Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.